your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us,
renew us,
and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
With you.
And also with you.
Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Our first reading is in the prophet Isaiah chapter 2. This is also our sermon text today. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. A second reading for the first Sunday in Advent is in Romans chapter 13. And do know this, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 21.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Our sermon hymn is 332. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is in Isaiah chapter 2, also in Romans chapter 3. I'm reading again these words. Now it shall come to pass that in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, in this month of December, The world would tell us that Christmas is about the giving and the receiving of gifts, that it's about families getting together and all kinds of other activities and events. But the church keeps on insisting that the Advent and the Christmas season is, one more time, all about Jesus Christ, true God, true man, Christ, born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, buried, risen up again. 25 years ago, there was a headline in local newspapers of a former Lake City, Minnesota man who decided after 20 years of living with a guilty conscience that he would confess. After 20 years of living with a guilty conscience, he came forward and he confessed to the murders of then mayor of Lake City and the mayor's wife. 20 years later, he admitted that when he was 14 years old, he was drunk, he was high on marijuana, and that he killed two people so that he could experience what it was like to kill someone. In that article, in that interview, he claimed that the reason he could no longer keep this secret to himself was that in recent years he had become a Christian. And since he had started going to church and having the Bible explained to him, he felt the right thing to do was to make his confession and accept his punishment. In our text for today, the prophet Isaiah predicted just this sort of a thing. He said that in the latter days, the mountain of the Lord's house would be established on top of the mountains, and that all nations would flow to it. Even Gentiles would come into the house of the Lord. God would be teaching them his ways, and people would be doing the right things for the right reasons. When the teachings of Jesus Christ are allowed to have their way, hearts change, lifestyles look different than they used to look. When Jesus Christ is ruling in the hearts of his people, people do the right things for the right reasons. When life becomes all about Jesus Christ, well, then guilty people step forward. They confess their faults to one another and to God. Peacemakers step forward and help anxious folks to calm down, and family events go better. When Jesus Christ has his way in our marriages and in our families, well, then wives find a way to be patient with their husbands. Jerry. Husbands find a way to be kind to their wives. Neighbors stop their bickering over small matters. Sinners who have fallen into taking the low road in difficult and frustrating situations are drawn towards the high road. You see, the ways of the Lord are higher than our ways. The thoughts and the plans of the Lord are higher than our thoughts and our plans. And so today, we start a four-part series of sermons aimed at helping our Advent in this place to be all about Christ. Next Sunday, his roots bear the best fruits. The Sunday after that, his promises are worth the wait. And the Sunday after that, his birth changes everything. Today, his mountain is the highest mountain. Two mountains we would contrast today, Mount Sinai, where the law was given, and Mount Calvary, where the gospel of Jesus Christ initiated. Hebrews 12 teaches us that when the people of Israel came to Mount Sinai, the mountain could not be touched. There was blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice that scared the you-know-what out of people. At Sinai, sinners could not endure the orders that were given. Without exception, sinners at Mount Sinai trembled with fear. But for those who come to Mount Calvary, according to Hebrews 12 language, for those who come to Mount Zion and then to Mount Calvary, where Jesus mediated a brand new covenant, well, then everything changes. two lessons we learned today. Lesson number one is that to be living at Mount Sinai is to have much to fear. To be living at the foot of the cross at Mount Calvary is to have nothing to fear. Lesson number one, when we spend our days living under the law, trying to earn our God's favor, trying to somehow just bull our way through life on our own efforts, well, then we have much to be afraid of. In our Thanksgiving Day's children's lesson, we read one of the saddest little notes you'll ever read. It was written by a foster child in Oklahoma about what she wanted for her family at Thanksgiving. She wanted food and water. She wanted a house with running water and lights. She wanted love. She wanted for mom and dad not to fight. She wanted clean clothing and a clean bed with covers. She wanted her family not to kill her pets, not to sell her toys. She wanted to be treated fair. She wanted nice shoes. She wanted for her parents not to get drunk. And maybe somebody could help her get a toothbrush. No doubt she was living in a family where Jesus Christ had been set off to the side. Apparently, the enemies of the faith were winning the day in that household. The peace and the joy that only Jesus Christ could offer were nowhere to be found. Dear friends in Christ, we can be sure that in this Advent season, the enemies of our faith will be as active as ever. The sinful world will be telling us that Christmas is mainly about eating and drinking and being merry. The sinful flesh will be telling us that Christmas is mainly about me, myself and I. The devil and his demons will be tempting us in 1,000 different and often creative ways to take the low road full of darkness and all that comes along with darkness. Whenever Jesus Christ gets pushed off to the side, we find ourselves fearing, trusting, and loving all kinds of gods more than the one true God. But in today's text, Isaiah was predicting an era when life would be very different. He was predicting an age, the New Testament age, where the religion of Israel would be recognized as the correct religion by all the nations. When Isaiah refers to Mount Zion, he was referring to a small hill in Jerusalem, which was great because that's where the Lord's temple was. Nearby, on a little hill outside of Jerusalem, as you well know, the Son of God would be sacrificed. Peace with an angry God would be purchased. Isaiah was predicting a time when Jerusalem would be a center of worship because this is where Christ would die. And this is where he would rise up again on the third day. Lesson number two this morning is that to be living under the gospel at the foot of the cross is to have a perfect love to be driving out fear. Isaiah invites us today to live and to move and to have our being at the foot of the cross, where people are listening to the Word of God, where the Holy Spirit is teaching them His ways, and where the good news is having its way. I invite you today one more time to bring all of your fears and your hopes, your anxieties, your petitions, your trophies, and your doubts, and to lay them at the foot of the cross. A story is told about a Queen of England who read a book entitled The Work and Words of Jesus. She enjoyed the book very much and then wrote to the author, quote, "I am sorry to say that I read the last chapter first, which I know is dreadful cheating. But it makes a wonderful and hopeful background for the rest of the book, and I do not regret it at all. End of quote. Dear friends, when you listen to the Old Testament's lesson for today, you are listening to the last chapter of your own personal book of life. If you will pay attention to this particular prophecy, it will serve as a wonderful background for the chapters of life you must yet live out. The good news for us is that we know how life turns out in the end, and because we know, we are able to live with a confidence and a calmness that unbelievers will never experience. Our lives become like those countless Hallmark movies my wife and I watch. Any Hallmark fans here? Raise your hand, please. There you go. You know, Jerry, there's always a happy ending, and about 10 minutes before, it's going south, and then it comes together. And so those of us who watch these movies, we don't get very worried about the circumstances going south, right? We know that, in fact, it's all going to end with a wonderful kiss. As Christians, we know that, in fact, God is working everything out in our lives. Everything He is working out for the good of those of us who love God and are called according to His purposes. Two invitations the prophet Isaiah would leave us with this morning. As we think of the New Testament church as the highest of the mountains, as we think of making this Advent season in this place all about Christ, as we think about what it means as a congregation and as individuals to be casting off works of darkness, so that the armor of light can be put on. Invitation number one is for us to think of St. Paul Lutheran Congregation as a little city of lights to which all kinds of people would be attracted in this season of Advent. Isaiah describes the New Testament church as the highest of the mountains to which all nations, even the Gentiles, are drawn. Perhaps some of you have visited the Mankato in recent years for the Kiwanis Festival of Lights. Starting at the end of November and going for 35 nights in a row, thousands and thousands of visitors from nearby communities are drawn to this beautiful and volunteer-driven event. In 2015, I found an article that indicated that 180,000 people streamed towards Sibley Park, which is lit up with 1.25 million energy-efficient LED lights. In this case of the Kiwanis Festival of Lights, the attraction is simply the beauty of a decorated park, as well as the opportunity to donate food and to worthy charities. In the case of the church, the attraction is the message of God. The attraction is God taking on human flesh, living among us for a time, suffering and dying in our place on a little hill outside of Jerusalem, rising up again on the third day, ascending into heaven on the 40th day, sending out His Holy Spirit on the 50th day to kick off worldwide evangelization. This morning, I invite you to remember and to be seeing ourselves as part of a worldwide evangelization, to be thinking of ourselves as a little city of lights set on a hill, living, preaching, and teaching in such a way that others would be attracted to Christ. Invitation number two is more individual. It is for you to think for yourself about what it would look like to be walking in the light of the Lord. The kingdom of God is like a medium-sized church in a medium-sized city full of folks who understand that as often as they try to live apart from Christ, that life goes south, that they are in effect living under the law at Mount Sinai, and they have much to fear. But as often as they are drawn, as often as they drown their own works of darkness through contrition and repentance, that often the very light of the world will be rising up on their inside. which is another way of saying that as often as they live at the foot of Mount Calvary, there is nothing to fear. They know, these people know, that as often as they come into the sanctuary of their church, their King is going to be meeting up with them with gifts of grace and mercy. They know their chief assignment in Advent is the same as it is in every season of the church year. Their chief assignment is to use their ears to hear what God is wanting to say to them. It is to receive the gifts Christ is all about giving to them. It is ultimately about the Holy Spirit calling, gathering, enlightening, and sanctifying the whole Christian church on earth. They look forward to the day when the military will be out of business, when swords will be melted down into plowshares, where spears will give way to pruning hooks for the vineyards, where nations will stop lifting up swords against one another, and all darkness will have to flee in the presence of light. Come, dear people of God, let your light so shine before people that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. May this Advent season be all about Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Merciful God, you have appointed times and seasons and marked the rhythm of our lives through our worship on the Lord's Day and the church year. Guide us through this calendar to know you with joy and to mark the days as they move toward your appointed consummation when our Lord will return in all of his glory. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty Lord, you hold in your hand all the might of men. Bless those who have the responsibility of leadership within our government, that they may be guided by your law and work in accordance with your will and purpose. Grant to us the gift of peace, an end to violence, and deliverance from terror and threat. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Lord, you have given to us your Son to bear the burdens of our sin and to grant us healing and hope. Hear us on behalf of those in need, those afflicted with health concerns, including Bob and Timothy, including Nancy and Darlene, including Eva and Harold, Marcia and Brian, and all those we name in our hearts, also Orville Preckel undergoing knee surgery this week. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those bent low in grief, including the family of Willard Kirchhoff, including the family of John Daling. Help these families, O Lord, to know that in Jesus Christ there is forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all the servicemen and women who are serving in the military, including Jacob, Tristan, and Jordan, Jacob, Aaron, and Sarah, Kylie, Jason, David, and John, Be with them, O Lord. Send your angels to be with them, that they may know your presence in all the chapters of life. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for missionaries, Reverend Nauman and Reverend Oliver, and missionaries who are all over the world, holding high your cross, praying, O Lord, that many souls in these days would be drawn to your grace and to your mercy. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray today. Amen. We receive the offering at this time.
Thank you.
We enter into the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve you and keep you in the true faith unto life eternal. Depart in his peace. Amen. Amen. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.